Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast. This is Erica.
And I'm Josh.
And I love my coffee.
With a splash of crime.
Hi. Welcome back.
Hello.
Long time no see.
We still see each other every day though.
Yeah, it's every day.
What's new?
Financial responsibility.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's horrible. Saving up to buy a car.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But I'm making progress.
So we haven't been shopping.
I know, it's really sad.
That's okay.
I just wanted to thank everybody for listening last week. The Q&A, it was very successful. We got lots of entries. We didn't have the opportunity to go through all the questions, but we appreciate the feedback and what everybody sent in. I do really appreciate it. Just wanted to throw that out there.
And for all the new followers we got on the show, welcome.
Yeah, welcome in, everybody. We aren't a normal podcast. I'll say that. We say crazy shit and...
definitely an acquired taste.
We're unhinged. With that being said, let's just jump into it. What are you drinking today?
I've been obsessed with the coffee place by our house. I'm like, in case people, I don't know if like they're everywhere or just.
It's a chain. So the Terramia, it's not Tiamia, it's Terramia. It's okay. T-E-R-R-A.
Okay.
I'm actually going to just tell everybody what Erica's drinking. Terramia, we've been trying a variety of different coffee places and trying a bunch of different things. Lately, Erica and I have been trying a bunch of different coffee places. We have been going to Terramia rather than Starbucks, and we have been obsessed with the salted caramel cold brew from there. It's super good. It's not super sweet, but it's not super bitter. It's a good balance. And so both of us are drinking that today. And then we actually paired it with a little bit of a food item. I like the tres leche muffins. It's one of my favorite things.
It's so good.
Sweet, but it's good.
It's really good. But if I have the sweet coffee and the sweet muffin, I feel like I'm going to puke.
She's dying.
So I got just a buttered croissant.
We've been trying new things. But Erica said she has a pretty interesting case that I've never heard. So I am super excited. So jump into it.
You've never heard it?
No.
Oh, perfect. We love this. Okay. The case I'm going to tell you about today has unfolded with numerous twists, turning it into a deeply complex and tragic story that has captivated public attention and sparked debates over justice, accountability, and the handling of international incident. This is the story of Shanquilla Robinson. Shanquilla Robinson from Charlotte, North Carolina. She had a bright future graduating from Winston-Salem State University. By 2020, she had already started two businesses. She was a hairdresser, but she opened her own businesses, which one was Exquisite Babies, a children's hair braiding service, and the other Exquisite Boutique was women's clothing.
Damn.
So she's a hustler at 25. Like,
every day I'm hustling.
She was motivated, hardworking, and extremely kind person. She's good-hearted and loved everybody. So our story begins on October 28th, 2022, which is why I thought you knew, because I thought I told you about it when it happened. I remember when it first happened, I saw it, and I was like, what the fuck? That was me. It's been not even a year and a half yet, right? It's about to be a year and a half.
Okay. Math.
On October 28, 2022, so right before Halloween, Robinson traveled to Mexico for a vacation with a friend and five travel companions, which consisted of three women and three men. From what I understand, the trip was planned to celebrate the birthdays of two of the people that were going. Dejanay Jackson and Nazir Wiggins. It was their birthdays. And then the group included Khalil Cook, which was said to be her good friend. And then, from what I understand, the other companions weren't her main friends.
Okay, so she was like, I'm going to go with my friend.
I'm wondering if it was, like, her friend's friends.
Okay.
Or they were just invited. I don't really know.
I feel like vacations are weird sometimes. Sometimes you go, especially when you're going with friends, you invite friends, and then they invite friends, and then you just all become friends at the end of it.
So it was going to be a total of seven people, which included Khalil Cook, which was supposed to be her good friend, and then Malik Dyer, Winter Donovan, Elise Hyatt, and the birthday people, which is Dejanay and Nazir. And they were collectively nicknamed the Cabo Six.
Cool.
After the fact, yeah. The relationship dynamics within the group remain somewhat ambiguous, but Khalil Cook was notably close to Shanquilla, often described as best friends, which I'm not going to use that term anymore because I don't think it was her best friend because everything that unfolds later. So it's just less relevant after her passing. Shanquila's mother, Salamandra Robinson, has pointed out her limited familiarity with the group. So she didn't really know them except for Khalil, who was a frequent companion to Shanquila and often participated in several family vacations. It would be reasonable to expect that if anyone were to support Shanquila, it should have been Khalil. However, his lack of communication alongside his silence with the others is quite telling. The trip to Cabo began October 28, 2022. Only 6 out of the 7 guests arrived in Mexico right away.
So somebody was going to join them later.
They end up checking into a high-end rental apartment located in Puerto Los Cabos Resort in the popular resort town of Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. The 7th member of the group was going to be Nazir Wiggins, and he didn't arrive until the next day, October 29th. The villa they rented, I looked it up. It's crazy. It's very luxurious, exactly what one might envision for a stay in Cabo. It had a huge living area, a private pool, a hot tub. They even arranged for a personal chef. They had their own concierge.
Okay, like, damn. So they...
It was like the damn thing. It's supposed to just be like a really enjoyable, fun trip. You could leave the house, but you don't really need to. It's just nice. The property featured 5 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, and could accommodate up to 12 guests. There's more than enough space for everybody. Even if you weren't super comfortable with everybody on the trip, it didn't matter because the place was so big. I feel like you wouldn't be in each other's space.
It's cool that they like got a bigger house.
It's massive. If you look at the pictures, it's massive. On the website, the nightly rate is around $1,300 a night. But from other research I did, it looked like it was more expensive when this occurred. I'm not sure, but when I went to the actual rental property, it was $1,300. Divided among 7 people, it's like 100 and something a night.
That's not bad. It's better when like...
170 or something like that. Yeah. If you do 3 nights, 4 nights, I'm not sure how long they were supposed to stay, but it would be...
Like $400 or like $500.
Yeah, it's still quite a bit of money for a vacation, right? But... Then once you add in food, drinks, alcohol, I don't know if it was all inclusive. So they might have had to pay separate for all that. But the only reason I'm even mentioning the financial aspect is because it becomes relevant later. I just feel like those staying there were not short on funds. Like at 25, there's no way I would have been able to pay that much for a vacation. Especially, no. I'm a hairdresser.
So you get so it. Like you I'm understand like, the financial dude. Aspect of it.
And I wasn't exactly at the beginning of my career at 25. Like, I was already situated and had a clientele, and it's still, I don't think I would have been able to spend that kind of money. Their first vacation day seems to proceed without any significant issues. The exact times of their arrival or check-in at the villa remain unclear, but it's evident that they spent their day engaging in leisure activities such as drinking, swimming, playing, drinking games. Much of their evening's activities were captured on Instagram stories and Snapchat and stuff like that. So they're on vacation.
Yeah.
They're posting it. Their vacation vibe appeared to be upbeat and carefree. Like, they're having fun. I don't know what's wrong with my voice today. I feel like I don't know if I'm getting sick, too. You get a true crime story and a fever. Just kidding. I don't have a fever, but... I feel like my voice is not the best today. So sorry. I got vocal fry. There is a video that's shared on Shanquila's Instagram story at 8:45 p.m. the first day showing she's like pretty much passed out on a hammock. People, I feel like, make this into something it's not because of what happened. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but me personally, I feel like people overlook it. I don't know. If I was the family, maybe I would look at it different. But as an outsider, basically she just knocked out on the hammock. And then her best friend, Khalil, he's talking in the background. He's recording her. And he's just, we got our first dead body. She's the first one to fall asleep on the vacation. Basically, she was just the first one to take a little nap on the hammock outside.
You're drunk on a vacation.
I don't even know if she was drunk. I feel like she wasn't. I think she just, it's outside. It feels good. You feel the breeze.
It's unscheduled naps.
Unscheduled naps, exactly.
Like,
but they're young, so they're just like, party. You know how guys get like,
yeah,
party all the way through. We're going crazy, whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone's, it's such a troubling video. They planned it. I'm like, I don't know. Not sure. I'm not trying to be insensitive because I know. I saw the video, though, and he's joking.
Yeah.
I think if you were planning it, you wouldn't post that.
Yeah, it was just.
Because that would literally throw you under the bus. Additional posts were made to her Instagram story after she woke up later that night. So she didn't sleep the whole night. She woke up. And then at some point, They're continuing the night's festivities. Then eventually at some point she calls her mom. She's like, we're prepping for dinner. The chef's here. We're having fun. We got here. We're safe. This is the like, you call your mom.
She wasn't drunk. She just was fucking tired from the fucking flight. And
yeah, most likely. Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe a little buzz going on, a little nappy nap. Yeah,
but
I don't think she was drunk.
Traveling's exhausting.
She said her daughter sounded happy during the call and promised to call her again the next day. She also shared updates about the group engaging in a drinking game. And then less than 24 hours, the situation just takes a drastic turn. Next day, October 29th, it's expected to be another fun day at the villas, but things seem off. They ended up finding a video of her, of Shanquilla. It says it was recorded by her. So I don't know if she sent it to someone's Snapchat or if they found it on her phone later. But she's recording. She's looking for the rest of the group in the villa. And she's joking about everybody taking too long to get naked. Doesn't take that long to get naked. Come on, where are you guys at? They're going to probably go skinny dipping.
Okay.
Everyone's like, let's go to our separate rooms, get naked, and we'll meet at the pool. But it seems like. And then she goes and no one's there. And she's, what the fuck? I'm standing here butt naked.
My titties are getting cold.
My tits are out. Like, what? Yeah. She finds them and they're all in one room without her. So they all
had an orgy.
No, they met up to talk shit, it seems like.
There's just something about naked talking shit that I've never done.
They weren't naked.
Oh.
They told her to go get naked or go to her room, or I don't know why you would even not just strip off by the pool. I don't really know.
Was the context.
No, because maybe, I don't know. It could have been, and then they were just waiting there to laugh at her when she came in.
It's fucked up. All of it's fucked up. Your bad best friend.
Right. They don't seem as happy as her. They're just like, their mood's weird. She's like, why are they all together? If they were getting ready in the room, why wouldn't they include her? It's just weird.
Yeah.
At around 2:13 p.m. So this was, I guess, that morning. I don't know. But then at around 2:13 p.m., a doctor from the American Medical Center in Cabo San Lucas was called to attend to a resident at the resort who was feeling unwell. Shortly after, Khalil calls Shaquila's mom, this is her best friend, to say that the daughter drank too much, she wasn't feeling well. He told her not to worry, that a doctor was on the way to help, and she's here. She's not in Mexico, so she just has to, like, trust him and be like, okay, hopefully everything will get sorted out. I'm sure she didn't think it was that intense, but they were telling the mom she had alcohol poisoning.
I'm pretty sure I've had alcohol poisoning.
Dude, I'm pretty sure, like, I've seen so many people with alcohol poisoning and it scares me. But then other people will be like, ah, they're just knocked out. It's fine. They're just drunk. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So he continues to update her mom while the doctor's there. Dr. Caroline Beatrice Ornelius Gutierrez.
I'm so sorry, but I would find it so fucking suspicious if somebody called me and said that somebody else was fine. I'd be like, let me fucking FaceTime.
No, they didn't say that she was fine. They said they needed to call a doctor.
No, I know. I'd be like FaceTime me.
Yeah. I know, especially if it's your daughter.
Yes. And
but I wonder if Mexico was different. The connection, maybe.
No, girl. If you don't have like international. You're paying that much for a fucking resort. All your fucking friends. No, you get the fucking international plan. Okay. First of all, second of all.
Especially because they're like Snapchatting and everything. So it's obviously.
They have access to the internet. Wi-Fi something. So there's that. Second of all, if somebody called me and said somebody was sick, but they're fine. They're like sick, but getting help, quote unquote, fine. I'd be like, no, FaceTime me.
Like they're not going to die type of thing.
Maybe I just have trust issues, but that's what I would think.
Especially because I think she trusted her best friend.
I don't care if it was fucking you.
Yeah. The doctor, Carolina Beatrice Ornelius Gutierrez from the American Medical Center, arrived within an hour and discovered a female patient in stable condition, though she was dehydrated, disoriented, not responding verbally, unable to communicate, and appeared to be intoxicated. While receiving medical treatment, the doctor tries to give her an IV, but her condition got worse. The doctor recommends that she needs an IV and that she should be transferred to the hospital. But the friends, quote unquote friends, are like, no, treat her here. We're not taking her to the hospital. Her condition starts getting worse. She ends up having a type of seizure that basically your whole body stiffens up.
Okay.
And this supposedly happened around 4:13 p.m.
So 2 hours after the call.
And this happened about an hour after the doctor got there. An ambulance gets called at about 4:20 p.m. when she started having trouble breathing. And then her pulse began to drop. Soon after, she goes into cardiac arrest. Paramedics arrive on scene around 4:49 p.m. and attempt to resuscitate her. They perform 14 rounds of CPR, applied pressure to her chest to try to restart blood flow and increase oxygen in the blood, and then they give her 5 doses of adrenaline and 6 shocks with a defibrillator.
I don't know what's going on. I'm scared.
Defibrillator.
Okay.
The defibrillator. The pedals. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know.
I know. It's just, I wanted to watch you struggle for a little bit.
And I can usually say everything. I don't know why I can't say it. That's so funny.
You're doing great, Pookie.
Thanks. I'm trying really hard. Okay. So despite their efforts, they couldn't get her heart to beat again or show any vital signs. I love how I'm like nervous because it's like a really bad part in the story, but I can't freaking say this word.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like stressed, but also worried about you.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So she's officially declared dead at 5:57 p.m., as stated in the police report.
Okay.
Then Khalil calls her mom. He's like, hi, buzz, buzz, your daughter died, basically.
Okay.
Like nonchalant. That's what, from what I understand, that's what the mom said, that he seemed emotionless as he delivered this news. This was particularly striking because Khalil was someone who had been close to Shanquila and their family. He's just like, yeah, sucks to suck.
Hey, I know you're at work. When's your next break?
Literally, I don't know. Like, he just seems...
She's like, oh, I'm actually on it right now. He's, hey, also your daughter died. But I was just real quick. I was actually looking at this KitchenAid that was on sale. If you can just take a look.
That's literally like he didn't give a shit.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It's weird. It's literally weird.
The shitty best friend.
Horrible.
What the fuck?
But then I was thinking, okay, maybe he was in shock.
No, bitch.
I'm not making excuses for him.
No.
I'm just saying, in a normal situation, I would think that maybe.
No.
No. I've had to deliver news like that before, and I was not like that. Even though I was in shock, I was still shaken up. The police officers from the Los Cabos Municipal Police Department were the first to arrive at the scene around 5:25. The doctor briefs them, explaining that she had been called to treat a young woman who had consumed too much alcohol. She found the patient stable but unresponsive, wanted to take her to the hospital for IV treatment, but the patient's travel companions preferred that she be treated in the hotel room. Despite this, the patient's condition deteriorated even after the paramedics arrived. And once she was pronounced dead, the officers informed the general prosecutor's office in Baja California, sir. And then the state attorney was notified at about 6:35 p.m. and the police were directed to file reports and begin an investigation. So I don't know if this is just standard protocol.
Yeah, with anybody who dies.
The police report, influenced by eyewitnesses' accounts and consultations with the doctor, believes that her death was alcohol poisoning, noting she died 2 hours and 45 minutes after the doctor's arrival. The report mentioned no signs of internal or external injuries. The U.S. State Department relayed that Mexican authorities found no evidence to suggest that she was murdered. Chiquita's mom, I think it's Salamandra, she said that her daughter died within 24 hours of getting to Mexico, making the grief even harder. It's a shock. And then it's her friends call. And then instead of the friends, quotes, the friends, the companions, the people she was with, because what fucking kind of friend is that? Instead of staying to like figure shit out, they're just like, all right, let's go home. And they just pack up and leave Mexico with their friend's body stuck in Mexico.
The fuck?
They're just like, all right, peace.
They like go to the airline. They're like, so we actually need a refund on one of the tickets. But it's not going to go in the primary account. I was wondering if you can like put it in mine.
Yeah, literally, yeah. They're just fucking assholes.
Yeah, fuck these guys.
They did bring her bags back, though.
Of course they did.
They're like, here, I brought her bags back. So, the supposedly best friend.
No, this guy's a shit friend.
Khalil. He personally delivers to her parents' house the bags. Upon dropping them off, he reports to the mom and the dad, Salamandra and Bernard, that basically the same explanation that he had given earlier, that she died from alcohol poisoning. However, from the start, her mom, like, she got mama bear instincts. She's like, this is fucking weird. Everything's seeming really weird. She just had that off vibe from the beginning. She just knew something was weird. She knows her daughter. Obviously, her daughter's not just some shithead 25-year-old.
She's businesses. It's not like she's fucking...
And she studied business in college. She was in college. She was smart. She was beautiful. She was driven. She was obviously responsible. And when I say she was beautiful, I mean she was gorgeous. Beautiful. All those other bitches at that fucking hotel room were probably jealous because all the dudes were like, damn, you know, I'm like 5 bedrooms, 7 guests. Who was sleeping with who? I'd love to know. Cause somebody was going to have to be sharing beds. Right. I'm like, okay, was someone's man? They were like, let's prank her and get her naked. And then they were like, damn, Shanquilla's got a nice body. And then they got jealous. I don't know. It seems weird. The whole thing seems fishy. And I'll get more into it on why. The days following her daughter's death, several members of the group visits the mom and the dad. And they share a version of events that slightly differed from the others. So everyone's story is changing. Some said that a maid found her unconscious. Others claimed that they or the concierge called for a doctor. First saying that she died from drinking too much and later mentioning there was a fight when it like came to light, which I'll get into. They admit to it and then it's okay. When it came to where Shanquilla was found, one person told the mom she was found on the floor. Another said in a bed. A third told the dad she was in a chair. Even if you were shit-faced, I understand stories could change if you're like super drunk and you're panicking, but I'm like, even if you're shit-faced, these aren't stories that even a drunk person would know they were found in the bed or the chair. So it's just bullshit at this point. Shanquilla's mom, in interviews with CBS News and Queen City News, talks about how confusing it was to hear her daughter had died from alcohol poisoning, especially when she first got that call and they were like, alcohol poisoning. She's like, that's weird. How do you know it's alcohol poisoning? Because a doctor hadn't even checked her yet. What if it was something else? How would you know it was from...
It's weird.
Alcohol. To learn that the doctor's suggestions for taking Shanquilla to a hospital were ignored because her friends basically told the mom that the insurance wouldn't work in Mexico and that the hospital wanted $5,000 cash up front to transport her, which Mexico is going to be cheaper, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, they have the money. You can't scrap together that. Also, wouldn't you tell the mom, hey, guess what? Your daughter is going to die if you don't Venmo me $5,000. Wouldn't you be like, hey, she's doing really bad, but if you pay this money.
For $5,000 for a goddamn ambulance, you know these fuckers had a rental car.
I know. That's why I'm like, what the fuck? And then I'm like, Mexico wouldn't charge that much. But I'm like, even if, let's say, I know in Mexico, from what I've heard,
the cartel runs everything.
They'll try to charge Americans more because they know they have the money and they're in this fucking villa.
I can see that.
And they're like, she's not going to die from alcohol poisoning. Let's just charge her to give her an IV to the hospital. $5,000. They'll pay it. They have money.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it could have been that, or maybe the people didn't want to transfer her to the hospital and spend the whole day in the hospital. So they just were like, she's not going to die. Just treat her here. It's alcohol poisoning. I've seen it 1,000 times. And then told the mom that lie that, oh, we couldn't transport her. But they didn't want to. Because they didn't want it to take up their vacation.
I think they didn't want to transport her. I think they just didn't want to. I can see that. I can see the friends just not wanting their quote-unquote vacation ruined for...
someone they're not even close to.
Yes.
Like, oh, she drank too much, that's her own fault type of thing. Yeah.
I can see that, but then... it's just... I don't have to be... maybe I'm just a different person. But even if I'm not close to someone and... I'm like genuinely worried about someone's health and they don't have the capabilities to get treatment themselves.
Even if I didn't like somebody.
Same.
And they needed help, I would help them.
Yes. Because it's fucking psychotic.
It's just human nature. Like you're supposed to help people around you.
If I fucking hate someone, but they're dying, guess what?
I'm going to go sit in the ER. Right. Like, here we go. Let's go. We're friends now. We're friends now. I brought your phone charger.
Yeah. Like, bitch, I don't know what to tell you. It's three days.
Oh. We're going
to
be there. It's fine.
I hate you, but fuck it. Put that aside.
I agree. The death certificate indicates that she had an injury and that the span from injury to death was only 15 minutes. So she died 15 minutes after an injury. And that her approximate time of death was actually 3 o'clock, which now everything's contradicting everything. The medical report, the autopsy, and the police report, they're all contradicting everything. The police report's based on what these people told the police. So there's a lie somewhere, something.
Ain't that the truth?
It all confuses me and I can't figure it out. But I was in a whole rabbit hole last night because I was like, what the fuck? I don't understand why. Sometimes because I don't lie, I don't understand it.
Yeah, there's no reason to lie, so it's hard to...
I'm like, wait, what? Why would they lie about that? That doesn't make any sense. There's obviously something behind it, but I can't fathom what it is. It's just lies because something is being covered up. I'm like, but wouldn't the doctor also tell the police what time she died? It's just weird. I don't know. Also, I've seen that sometimes in Mexico, paperwork is just
busy work.
A shit show.
Yeah.
It's a shit show.
I've read that.
We've had issues with funeral arrangements and last names and wrong names and switched names and no documentation. And it's just, it seemed to me just, it's a constant shit show. Just, it seems like paperwork is just, nobody gives a shit. Seems like it's not like it is here.
I read that about like paperwork. I don't think they have notary over there either.
Right.
To my knowledge, I believe like it's very, well, obviously it's better in rich areas. I hear it's better.
Okay.
But that's why a lot of people lose luggage because paperwork is just whatever over there.
Yeah.
So it will like never get on the flight or it'll never get transported from like the hotel to whatever. Or that's why mail's also really bad over there. That's just what I've read. I've seen it on Reddit. It's funny because
I've heard that people don't even stop for ambulances.
Yeah.
The inconsistency in stories was a major red flag. Efforts to uncover the truth led into challenging situations. Bernard, he was having issues communicating with the resort in Mexico to arrange for his daughter's body to be returned. But it's fucked up because he couldn't find someone for days who spoke English. And this is a resort frequented by tourists. So that's weird. I don't speak Spanish, but I feel like I can communicate with most Spanish-speaking people because they do pick up on English.
They do, but what's weird to me is most resorts speak all languages.
Also, I was confused about this part because I'm like, wait, would he be talking to the resort about the body? Wouldn't he be having to talk to the police, to talk to the morgue, to talk to... So I don't know if this was misreported.
But here's another thing. I wonder if the inconsistencies inside of all of the reports is because it's a resort and they didn't want to have a person die on the premises.
Possible. So
I wonder if they...
I'm wondering if that's why the room is cheaper now.
Maybe.
The villa.
But...
like, don't report her dead here. Take her off.
Yes.
Off-site. Kind of like
Disney.
Yeah.
Like, I know they don't
report people see that. Dead
at the premises. So that's why the doctor could have put this when she actually died. But then the resort... was like, no. Then that's why she died at a different time on the police report. Because...
the managers probably told a different time, yes, to make it be like she wasn't here.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that. He finally talks to a woman in management and she's like, oh no, your daughter didn't die from alcohol poisoning. It was a broken neck.
What the fuck?
And he's like, okay, this is a turning point. This is information that I haven't heard. Then the mom gets an anonymous call hinting at a fight involving Shinquila, adding another layer of mystery to this case. Despite confronting the travel companions with this new information, they continue to deny any altercation. However, when the death certificate was released on November 5th, the truth begins to unravel, revealing the inconsistencies and lies surrounding Shinquila's tragic death. Autopsy shows that she actually died from a broken neck, not alcohol poisoning. And when her body was back to the U.S., it was clear she had been hurt. She had a swollen eye, busted lip, and other signs of being beaten up. This was right before her funeral back in Charlotte, North Carolina. She had marks on her face. And at some point, they do another autopsy, and it's inconclusive. They didn't see broken anything, and they didn't see alcohol poisoning. But then I went down a whole rabbit hole with this, too, because I'm like, in the past, I've seen that as the body decays, your alcohol level will go up. And that's why it seems like people's alcohol level's really high, but your body, when it breaks down,
yeah, it has like the
your stuff. Releases like everything, right? Then I saw in another spot, and you do a toxicology report and see the blood alcohol level weeks later. And it's saying that you can't. I wasn't sure if you can even test blood alcohol level past a certain point. That's something to think about. But either autopsy mentioned anything about alcohol. So regardless, she was either never tested for alcohol or it was never mentioned. The death certificate revealed that Shinquila Robinson suffered from severe spinal cord injury and atlas luxation, which is a dislocation of the first two vertebrae in the neck. Atlas refers to the first two vertebrae, and luxation means dislocation. So in simpler terms, she had a broken or dislocated neck. While such an injury isn't always fatal, it could lead to death if there's further damage to the spinal cord. So from what I understand, once when you hurt your back or your neck or you fall, they don't want you to move you. Sounds like she was moved.
The fuck?
Like maybe she didn't die, but then was moved. That's what it looks like to me. I don't know. That's just my knowledge. Neck injuries.
It's so fucking weird.
The death certificate clarified many details, but most importantly, it confirmed that her death was not due to alcohol poisoning because it wasn't mentioned in the certificate at all.
Yeah, I don't think she died from alcohol.
There was no blood alcohol level. Or maybe they saw the broken neck and they're like, now we don't have to even test for that because it obviously wasn't that.
Like, she's dead.
The death certificate also indicates that the time span from injury to death was only 15 minutes, with her approximate time of death listed as 3 o'clock, which conflicts the narrative that she was under medical care for hours before she passed away. The information from the death certificate challenges the credibility of the initial reports about her condition and the circumstances leading to her death. So overall, it's just looking like some kind of cover-up. Like maybe you said, so they're not on the resort. Maybe the doctor, maybe the police, maybe the friends told the police something different. I don't fucking know, but it's all confusing as hell. It's just sus. It's just suspicious.
It's a shit show.
It's a shit show, yeah. Furthermore, section 24 of the death certificate, which inquires whether the death was accidental or violent, they just put yes.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
It's accidental or violent. Yes. So they didn't put accidental or violent.
They made the third box. It's like true or false. Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly.
What the fuck?
Yes, that's exactly it. The vague answers leaves a significant question unanswered. Was her death accidental or was it a result of a violent act? The lack of clarity on this point adds to the mystery and confusion surrounding the circumstances of her passing.
Fuck.
Dude, if I was the family.
I'd be pissed.
I'd be fucking about to kill someone too.
I'm about to kill someone right now. And I'm not even the family.
It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. After the death certificate comes out, her travel buddies stop coming around to the family. So they're like, fuck, we got caught. They all go quiet. And it makes you wonder why they'd go silent unless they're hiding something, right? So then on November 11th, this is 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, her parents come forward with a statement. And it's pretty clear that they're not buying the story about how she died that her friends were pushing. Start pushing back, looking for real answers. They're pissed. I'd be fucking pissed too. Her family, before they can even give her the funeral, this video emerges on November 16th that altered the understanding of her death and corroborated the details listed on her death certificate. It goes viral. Originally posted on Twitter, the video displays a violent altercation between Dejanay and Shanquilla in the master bedroom, where Shanquilla is seen being aggressively attacked while naked in the master bedroom of their vacation villa without fighting back. And it's being recorded by at least two individuals, but it sounds like everyone's in the room watching. And
wait, so the best friend was hitting her?
No, the best friend's a boy. This was Dejanay, another chick that was there. Probably fucking jealous as fuck.
Was beating.
Was like fighting her, but she wasn't fighting back. She was awake and everything, but she like wasn't defending herself. She was just like covering her face and stuff.
Okay.
The assault was recorded by at least two individuals with her best friend's voice identifiable in the background, questioning her ability to defend herself. So he's like, Quila, can't you even fight back? And she's like, no, I'm not fighting back.
The fuck?
It highlights that she was just not prone to violence or aggression. She wasn't a fighter, even when she was getting attacked. So it's like really distressing. This is the video that made me find this case when it first happened. I saw it. And her parents, after seeing the video, they urged the police to escalate their investigation into her death. The video, which garnered millions of views and widespread attention, prompted a formal investigation by Mexican authorities. On November 17th, it's announced that the State Attorney General's Office of Baja California Sur was investigating Shanquila's death as a femicide, which is like a homicide here, but it's a crime involving a violent death of a woman because of her gender, which could lead to significant prison time if someone is convicted. Additionally, the FBI's Charlotte Field Office launched its investigation into the case the day after the Mexican authorities began theirs. This turn of events underscores the complexity and international scope of Shanquila's case, spotlighting the legal process in both Mexico and potentially the United States. Baja California Sur, where the investigation is based, is a state in Northwest Mexico, not in California. Baja California is not California. No. Okay, I just thought I'd say that for people
who
think it's like the U.S.
In California, it's almost the border.
It's now there's like this cross-border issue, bullshit.
Which is beyond difficult.
The video showing Shanquilla Robinson, which you could still find online, she's being attacked. It's key evidence pointing to how she might have sustained the neck injury. Mm-hmm. Dejanay, identified as the attacker in this video, is now central to the investigation. The case involves complexities of international law, as the suspects are U.S. citizens, but the crime occurred in Mexico. So both the U.S. and Mexico have the authority to pursue the case. The U.S. can prosecute its citizens for crimes committed abroad, and Mexico also has jurisdiction. Cooperation between Mexican and U.S. authorities is essential for the U.S. to take legal action. While Mexican authorities are conducting their investigation, the FBI was involved. Extraditing a U.S. citizen from Mexico is rare, but it's been pursued in this case. Mexico wanted to bring that chick back to Mexico for trial. But I think the U.S. has to agree to them taking their citizen. Because also it's the U.S.'s right to protect our citizens. So it's like a big shit show, right? So an arrest warrant was issued for an unnamed female widely believed to be her. And the extradition process involved several U.S. departments and a district judge who must approve of the warrant based on the evidence. Despite rumors, no arrest or extradition has occurred yet. Although a warrant has been granted, Mexican prosecutors are treating Robinson's death as a result of a direct attack, not an accident, and seek the extradition on one of the friends from the trip. So Mexico did want to pull them.
Yeah.
Despite only one person being seen attacking Shinquila, I believe those that stood by watching filmed are also considered responsible for her death. The act of standing by and filming a friend being brutally beaten is shocking. The entire case is appalling, and the Robinson family hopes that all involved will face legal consequences. So you remember there was someone that came late?
Yes.
Nazir Wiggins. He arrived late, and he said he got there at 3:30 p.m. and that Shinquila was still alive. Remember the other report said she died at 3.
What the fuck?
So he's either lying or I don't know, but 3:30, she's still alive. And that she, remember the death certificate said she died at 3:00. He said she was very drunk and he stayed with her trying to help her by moving her to a quiet spot, rubbing her head, playing music. However, this raises questions. If she had visible injuries from being beaten, wouldn't he have noticed? Some people doubt the time he says he arrived and thinks he should also be held responsible for what happened to Shinquila. She's laid to rest on November 19th. Her funeral featured a pink and yellow casket, her favorite colors, and a horse-drawn carriage. It was a beautiful service, but it's a tragedy she didn't come back from her trip to continue her life. I just wanted to come to ensure that there's enough people putting pressure on the entire system to do what's necessary to get justice for this young woman losing a loved one in this heinous way, which has happened to Shinquila. There probably never will be peace for her family, but there cannot just be an unopened situation. It has to be closed, and there has to be accountability for those who are responsible for her death. On November 21st, a significant twist emerged with the release of police report of her death, presenting information that starkly contrasts with the death certificate. So now everything's questioned for accuracy, which I touched on. According to the report, at 2:13 p.m., someone from the group calls a resort doctor. The doctor arrives at 3:15. Over an hour at the villa, she begins having seizures. Shinquila, emergency services are called around 4:20, with CPR being performed by the doctor while they wait for an ambulance. And authorities reportedly arrived around 5:25, and Shinquila was officially declared dead at 5:57. Cardiac arrest as a cause, and then the police report contradicts the death certificate in several ways, including the cause and the time of death. The death certificate indicates Shinquila died within 15 minutes of a neck injury and estimated her time of death at 3:00, while the police report suggests she was alive for several hours and died closer to 6. From the beginning, Shinquila's parents are like, dude, there's more to the story. They were right. Their intuition was right. They've given many interviews determined to see justice for their daughter, and Salamandra believes the authorities simply recorded the initial stories they were told without seeking the truth, suggesting a lack of concern and effort in investigating. April of last year, federal investigators decided against filing criminal charges, stating that the evidence didn't support a federal prosecution. Basically, that they wouldn't have enough evidence to prosecute.
Yeah, I can see that.
Channel 9 accessed on an autopsy report from the Mecklenburg County Medical Examiner conducted about 3 weeks after her death. It contradicts the Mexican autopsy, which said that it was severe neck and spinal cord injury. Instead, this autopsy says that the cause of death is undetermined. I saw somewhere that there was like swelling of the brain or something, but
that's common.
And the FBI Charlotte Division says the case remains open, but evidence does not support a federal prosecution. As in any case, they're prepared to review and examine new information related to the investigation if it becomes available. Then the U.S. Department releases a similar message, which they normally wouldn't release a message, but people were putting so much pressure on this case. And this family did have a GoFundMe, which was to help with the extradition and all that of these the Cabo Six, but I wasn't sure if they're still wanting people to sign that, but it is still up. If anybody wants to help, maybe they could just go and sign that petition. I'll tell you more details at the end. University of North Carolina at Charlotte Criminology Associate Professor Dr. Cherise T.M. Costin said it doesn't mean an extradition is out of the question, but federal prosecutors would need to support it. So it's just such a serious action because you're giving up a U.S. citizen to another country based on what they said occurred, Mexico, right? Now, the whole thing that's fucking this whole thing up is that the U.S. did the autopsy that came back undetermined. Probably had a lot to do with the length of time between the two examinations between Mexico and U.S., but it fucked it up. And so there's a petition on change.org by her family. There's also, it's called Demand Justice for Shanquila Robinson. Their GoFundMe is also up still. If you want to donate, I believe they still have their lawyer pursuing, and they're still pursuing everything. So I'm sure they need money for lawyers and everything. If you want to help, you could do that. But I remember when the video was posted last year and a half ago, when it happened, and I was shook. When you see this video, you're like, what the fuck? Because she's naked. Like, she was attacked. She was, like, sleeping or something. I don't know.
Like, between the two jurisdictions, it's all a shit show.
I think it's just impossible.
So they got away with murder.
I think so. But then after they did get jumped.
Good.
Like, going out to an event, some of the members of the Cabo Six got jumped at, like, a club or something.
Karma's a bitch.
Yeah.
That's shitty. It sucks.
And then one of them got in trouble for a hit and run. Hopefully karma will get them. I'm just so curious as to what exactly happened or why she was attacked. Like, what was the point of this? I think it was jealousy between that girl.
There's just so many inconsistencies.
It's just a shit show. So I always think about it because I'm like, dude, what the fuck happened?
It sucks because Mexico's so bad with paperwork. And paperwork is such a big paper trail. So it's not like you could use it as evidence because it contradicts itself.
And then there couldn't have been an investigation because everybody came home. They just let them leave.
Yeah.
So there was no follow-up questions. There was nothing. No investigation.
No crime scene photos.
No.
No. Everything's just
botched. Everything was fucked up.
That's frustrating. I'm just frustrated.
Maybe they didn't want them to take her to the doctor because of the injuries. But I'm like, there was a doctor on site. So wouldn't she see those injuries?
I don't understand.
I don't know. I really don't know.
The thing I don't understand is you'd expect doctors, because Baja California is so close to California in the U.S. I know a lot of doctors
train here
and go there. It's high key. I don't know how to say it. I'm just frustrated.
It's frustrating.
It's not even, I know I didn't talk much during this case.
I think that's why this case irritates me so bad, because not only am I so curious because I want to know the truth, but also I want justice for her family and I want justice for her. She was beautiful. I think she would have gone really far in life. She was beautiful.
See, for me, it's two things. One, I fucking hate liars. And this is just a bunch of lies. I feel like you got the wheels turning. She was like a model.
I wanted to show you pictures because she's so pretty.
She's gorgeous.
I love those, the way she did her fluttery lashes. I love those lashes on her. And those white, her eyes are so white. Just, they glow from her face.
She has stunning eyes. She was just really pretty.
And she did have a really nice little body too. That's why I'm like, dude, I bet you when they got naked, that girl got jealous.
She got fucking self-conscious.
Something weird. Cause
yeah, it was jealousy.
She got that body, yaddy, yaddy, yaddy.
Yeah, this one actually pissed me off.
It's just sad.
It's sad, but it also really pissed me off.
I also don't like when friends don't stand up for their friends. We've had so many cases where we have really good friends that fight for their friends. And I'm like, dude, I wish she just didn't fucking go. Like,
This is why I don't have any friends. I'm a dick.
God, I feel like anxiety holds me back so much in life.
Same.
But also protects me because I would never go on a trip with people I didn't know. I'm not blaming her. I'm not saying it's her fault.
No, it's not her fault.
Because obviously she was super successful because she was brave.
Here's another thing. I feel like when you're in a specific business, especially running your own business and advocating for yourself, you have to network. You have to put yourself out there to speak to people that you normally wouldn't speak to. As somebody who's like networking, and I've done that part with business in my personal life, I've done networking, I've done calls, I've spoken to people in like Texas, New York, right.
You never Florida. Know who you're going to make friends with. And
she
probably thought, my best friend has always had friends that I'm not friends with. And then I get pushed to hang out with them. And I'm like, dude, I don't know how my best friend is best friends with these people, because obviously I'm so different from my best friend. But in a way, we have so much in common that I would think I would get along with anybody that she would get along with.
Yes.
But it's not that way. And it's always awkward. And I always don't like them. But I like try to be supportive for my best friend and get along with her friends.
Yeah. That's
but also, it goes like both ways. I feel like she also doesn't get along with my other friends the way that I do. Not that we don't get along. where there's no beef or anything. It's just
vibe. Like, you like vibe with certain people differently. Right.
And then even like my husband, like him and I are so similar. We basically grew up together that I would think that all of his friends, most of his friends are my people. Like, I'm like, these are my people because you picked me and then you handpicked those people and we're the same and I love it. Yeah. But then there's a couple random friends he has that I'm just like, dude, how do we, where do they even come from? And I could tell they're like separate. It's like a forced friendship almost, or they have something in common and then I just don't have anything in common with them.
I hate that.
And I'm like, this is so weird. Like, how me and my husband, who are like the same person because we grew up together.
Yeah.
By same person, we have the same things that set us off, same things that irritate us. We think the same things are funny. But then it's, he'll have like these random friends, which like, he'll tell me their jokes and it's like the same kind of jokes that we have, but I just don't connect with them in that way.
For me, I feel like, because I even feel like I'm pretty similar to Joel. We have a lot in common, but there's some things that like just aren't me. Like, he likes The Office. I can't watch The Office. He likes
that. Now you just lost us a bunch of followers. Just lie. Say you like
it. Oh my God, I love The Office.
Everybody loves The Office, though.
I
don't.
I'm not crazy about that humor. Great, you just lost us a fuck ton of followers. Just fucking lie. Say you love it. Say you love it.
I love it.
Perfect.
People are going to get mad at us that we don't like
it. Guess what? I just don't like that type of comedy. I'm going to say it. You know why? Because we're unhinged. I am not a fan of The Office. I don't like Parks and Recreation. I don't like Friends. Like,
I don't know why it comes off annoying.
Yeah. But Joel loves that.
He does. But so, he's also annoying. So that's probably why.
Probably why you like him. No, it's just like stuff like that, that I can see that's why he finds those specific people. Because it's just something that's different. And I'm not saying it's wrong. Everybody has interests. But yeah. I don't know. It's just,
like, some things are slightly different. But that's what I'm thinking. Like, with her, she was probably like, this is my best friend's friends. Like, it's going to be fine. He's going to be there with me. If I feel awkward, my bestie's there. I'll probably get along with these people perfectly fine. And I feel like hairdressers could talk to anybody. I could literally start a conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
Because you, like, read that person, and then you try to find what they like, and then you ask them questions. Everyone loves to talk about themselves. Then they'll start talking about themselves. And then they love you because you're listening. I don't know. As a hairdresser, I could just really. Kylie, our younger sister, she'll always be like, damn, why are you having a car? You saw me talking to that guy yesterday about his dog at the store.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I just talk to people.
I was thrown off. I was like, what is this? She started talking to this old dude. And I had walked away for -3 seconds. Because I was like, I'm just going to go grab milk. She's like, okay, I'm just going to look for baking powder. No, baking soda. So I'm like, all right. So I walk away. And then 3 aisles down, I'm like walking. And then I hear her talking to someone. I'm like, who the hell is this bitch talking to? And then I go and she's talking to this dude that I would have never have thought to look twice at. But she's over here talking to him about his dog and how his dog loves the ladies. And I'm just like, what is going on? What is going on? It was just so funny to me that she literally vibed with this dude. He was like an old dude. He was doing his shopping.
In a cart. You can tell he's like an ex-druggie.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
But he had the cutest little pug.
It was just funny.
He was like a little fat boy-like creature.
But point of this whole conversation is when you network in business, you network with different people. So then you understand how to work with different personalities. And that's probably what she thought. That's probably why she went with these people. Because she's like, I probably talk to people all the time of all these different areas and all these different things. Because I'm a business entrepreneur.
Right.
And honestly, customer service. I feel like with customer service, you speak to people that you normally wouldn't speak to.
Right.
Because you get so many fucking weird people, especially for somebody who like deals with the public. Some of these people are just fucking crazy, but you find a common interest somehow and you're like, cool.
Now we're vibing.
Now I can talk to you for 5 minutes.
But I think it was just this one specific girl that got in a fight with her. Because why would you fight with somebody? Alcohol obviously can cause tension sometimes. Or people to be braver than they are. She had to have just been jealous of her.
That has to be the only common thing. Why would you fight with somebody you barely know?
It's so weird.
Unless that girl was interested in her best friend, the dude.
Maybe.
And they, who knows, what if they're hooking up? And
so then the dude didn't want to stand up for his friend because he was also,
yes,
like, on, he wasn't on a side.
Exactly.
He was on both sides.
Exactly. And that's what caused the whole situation. Or
he didn't want to step in because one of the other dudes was talking to her. And if he stepped in, he thought it would get him in a fight. I'm not standing up for him. No, I think he's not a piece of shit.
I'm just trying to understand.
Regardless, he should have done the right thing.
Regardless, nobody should have been hurt. Nobody should have.
These are adults we're talking about. These are 25-year-old adults.
They're my age.
They are not 19-year-olds. This is unacceptable behavior. I love how this is a whole tangent because we're so annoyed right now.
When we get annoyed, we fucking vibe. Fuck them. Fuck those people. They don't deserve to. I hope all of them get fucking karma. I hope they don't plug in their phone at night. I hope their fucking big toenail fucking
hits the bed every night.
And I hope fucking their car battery dies because they leave their stupid fucking light on. And I hope they have to replace their freaking. I hope they get an oil change and somebody fucks them over and then their whole fucking engine goes out. Fuck these people. I'm pissed now.
I'm so mad. We love it.
All right. We should end it. Because let's just end it. It's getting crazy. Yeah,
we got to pick up Hunter from school.
Now that we're going to go into school fucking triggered. Like, move, bitch. Give me my kid. They're like, Jesus. No, I know where he gets it from. No, I'm just I'm sorry. Okay. Any wise words of wisdom today?
Yes. Just make sure you look both ways before you cross the street.